Hello, and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships, what makes them work, how to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome. Good morning. I'm here today with Geraldine Murphy, who's a relationship coach. She helps women and couples uncover the magic in their relationship. And even if they've been together for a long time, she can make vast improvements. She's done it for herself with her husband and found it's much more fun to make a struggling relationship work than to get divorced, which she has also done. She's a massive believer in making the most of what you've got rather than replacing it with someone new. Something new. Hi, Geraldine, welcome.
Hello, how are you? Thank you for having me on, Heather.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm really good, thank you. It's fresh after Valentine's Day, so we're all feeling flushed with love and wanting to share.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about negative biases, expecting the worst in the relationship, expecting the worst response. And the negative habits that can be destructive in relationship and being too busy and taking each other for granted. Exactly. Shall we look at the first bit first?
Yes, yeah, it's one of my favorite topics, which sounds weird for negative bias, really. But it's the one thing that I think if we could be trained in schools or trained anywhere in life to even know that it exists, it would make a huge difference to everybody on earth. It would just be crazy because we'd act and react so differently to each other. I'll explain what it is. Negative bias, we're born with, and this goes back to dinosaur times when we were cavemen. We are born with this part of our brain that protects us. And this has not evolved over, you know, hundreds of thousands of years. And it's the little bit in our brain that when you were running around with your club and being chased by saber-toothed tigers and things like that, if you heard a rustle in the bushes, you could either assume everything was fine or you could assume that there was trouble and you just had to bolt. And the people who assumed it was fine sometimes got eaten. So we ended up with these genes that protect us. And often unnecessarily. So you have this part in your brain that doesn't know it all. The only job it has is to protect you and keep you alive. But of course, nowadays, we're not getting chased by tigers. We are we're really rarely in physical danger, but we still have this negative bias. You know, we have this part in our brain. It's the amygdala, so it's right in the middle of your brain, and it fires off when you see something that scares you or you see anything at all, really. You will automatically look for the danger in it, especially if it's anything new or any change. And I think things like texts are amazing for bringing this out. You can see a text and you will automatically look for the danger or the bad in that. And that is your negative bias. And it's completely natural. It's unfortunate, but it's completely natural.
So it can relate to emotional threat, not necessarily physical threat. It can relate to any sort of threat that you feel to your well-being.
Absolutely. And that's when it happens most often. Because in reality, there's very little physical threat that we have in our lives. The majority of it is emotional threat. And it's not even emotional threat. I mean, I have done it myself, getting, you know, you get a text through from somebody that you are expecting bad news from, or you're not quite sure, and it might not be bad news when it does come through, but you look at it and you're like, before you even see any of the body of the text, you kind of like, you know, hairs can go up on the back of your neck, you can start feeling a bit tingly. And this is, you know, it's the same. It happens with all sorts of different things. The brown envelopes, that used to be a good one, didn't it? You don't get that many, you know, the tax man. And you see the envelope and think, oh my God, what's in this? Assuming the worst every time. But we also do that in relation to our partners. And this is because it's naturally there. I mean, there's really easy ways to combat it. But it's a muscle. It's something that you have to practice and know that, you know, be aware of it and learn how to catch yourself, you know. And the more you catch yourself and correct it, then it just becomes something that you get better at and it gets easier.
Can you give some examples?
Yeah. Well, the really, the one, sorry, do you mean the example of correcting yourself?
Yeah. What the behavior would be and how you'd correct yourself.
Yeah, well, there's a, you know, say your partner is out and they're late for dinner. You've got dinner ready and they're not back and you haven't heard from them. And you can start assuming that they don't care. They got chatting to somebody at work and you aren't really that, you know, you're not as important. This dinner isn't as important as anything as it should be. But actually you can kind of know that this is my brain working, trying to protect me, but actually the chances are I don't have enough information here. Okay. He hasn't called. He's late. Anything, you know, and it could have a flat tire or it could have whatever, a phone could be out of charge. The chances are it's not any of these things. Because if you look back, this is another good technique, looking back at whenever you thought something bad was going to happen, did it happen? How many times have you looked back and have you thought, oh God, this is terrible. This, what if this happens? This is going to happen. This, and it doesn't happen, and all that wasted energy that you've expended on the pain and the worry and the stress. And the trouble is, it's a bit like having a baby. You forget about it. You know, when it's done, you tend to forget and you don't record it. And then you go on to the next one of like, oh, this always happens. And actually you think, well, the last 12 times it didn't happen. It did turn out better than expected. But you didn't remember. So so I actually write those things down, stick them on the fridge sometimes. This happened. This went well. This went well. This went well. Actually, things are working out for us.
And so it's soothing yourself.
Yeah. But educating and retraining this so we can hop over this amygdala and just... It will always be there. It'll always want to do its job, but we don't need to trust it in the same way as we did. Or at least it's not even just, it's the blind trust of it where you go into panic. This is what always happens. And then I react. So the thing of husband being late, and then he comes in the door and you're, you didn't call, you didn't this always happens. It's always like this. You don't care about this dinner or whatever. And when actually, if you look at all the information, you think, actually, I don't have this information. He's not back. He is not answering his phone. The phone's probably dead, the whatever. And the energy is completely different when he does show up and you're not firing off this negative energy back at him, where he's possibly been standing in the rain changing a tire or something. Do you know what I mean? So he is not going to, it's not going to go.
So you don't add insult to injury.
Exactly. I'm talking of you, but you can't, that negative energy has happened. So if you haven't caught it, it's not gone. It's happened and you have created, like, did you ever wake up from a dream and you're annoyed with somebody? And you think, I dreamt that I had an argument with them. And you still have that energy in your body when you get up and you're still annoyed with them maybe an hour afterwards. And you're like, why am I annoyed with this person? I need to. And then you work it out and you think, and it didn't blooming happen.
So there's something you're saying here that's really important about soothing ourselves, really being an adult to ourselves and saying, hold on, Is this really the way I want to react? Is this really what's happened? I've got all of these ideas, none of which could be true. If I just calm myself down and wait, and I know that I can trust him. It's not that he's doing this on purpose. All of my previous experience of him is that he doesn't stay out on purpose to ruin my dinner. Then you can be calm, and then you can be responsive and warm when he comes in. Gosh, you're late, darling. What's happened?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it makes me think, Well, it makes me think about sort of childhood patterns, how we first experienced love when we're little, that will overlay this amygdala reaction. So if you first experienced emotional connection as being shouted at and slapped, that's what you'll expect. So that will feed into expecting the worst.
Just reinforces it.
I'm making it an extreme to make the point, but if you've experienced connection as absent, like your parents are too busy to be with you, then you won't expect good attention. You won't expect to be loved and cared for in an attentive way.
Yeah, absolutely. And because the amygdala situation's already set up, it's already there, it's already happening, you have to kind of actively work against that. But as a child, you can't. You rely on your parents to be the ones to help you with that. But being in this situation with your amygdala as an adult and not realizing that it is negative bias and it is natural is being quite childlike. It's not moving forward and not developing yourself. And this is a really funny, I love this funny trick with the amygdala. This dinosaur bit of your brain is actually a bit stupid. It's a bit dense. It's so old. It's not able to count backwards. So if there's ever something you need to do, like I use it for getting in the sea, in the cold sea, you want to go in the sea, but your body's giving you, the longer you avoid going in the sea, the harder it gets to get in. You've been there, haven't you? Everybody's been there. Like, I know it'll be nice once I get in there, but I don't really want to. And then I'll give it 5 minutes, or I'll go and get an ice cream first, or whatever. And you'll never get in the sea. If you say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, do it. It switches off that bit of your brain. It can't cope with counting backwards, but you have to go straight in then.
That's a brilliant trick.
It is brilliant. And then again, it's another one of those. The more you use it, the easier it gets. And I have used it once for going down, those vertical slides.
Yes, wall of death.
Terrifying, yeah. And I remember I had Noah, my youngest boy with me. We were at this kind of park thing where we were doing that kind of stuff. And I was like, I'm determined to go down this because he's looking at me, because I need to be brave. I need to be a brave mom. And because I'm an older mum, I was like, he doesn't see that. But I was like, I'm not going to be the mum that doesn't do that. I'm going to do it. And he couldn't look. But I did that several times because I was like, oh, Jenny Mac, I don't want to go down this thing. I was like, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And I was telling everybody, do it this way. This way you get down. But once you've done it several times, the second time's always easier. Third time's easier again. You start to rely on your own. You start to know that it's just a muscle. It's just a do it thing, You'll just do it.
And
it's fine.
You build your own reassuring experience.
So you break up that, that I love that thing with the synapse thing. So you when you have a negative experience, you create a pathway. And every time you go over that pathway, you go deeper into the trench and it becomes more of a pathway. So you scribble it out when you change that, you interrupt the pathway. And the more you interrupt it, then that you create new pathways. So it's like, the other analogy is the muscle, creating that muscle where you create a new habit, but you keep doing it, and then you have a good new habit.
That's brilliant. So we can do that in relationship too. We can calm ourselves down so we're not being reactive from amygdala or negative childhood experiences, making meaning that's negative. Brilliant. That's brilliant. So what about the negative habits? You just mentioned that. What about the negative habits that can happen long term in relationships that diminish it?
Yeah, these are really interesting, actually, because most of these negative habits, people don't even realize that they're doing it. It becomes such a part of them, and habits are, they can be so good and so bad. So you can just have something that you don't even hear yourself doing. And I had somebody talking to me recently, and her husband, he doesn't eat a wide range of food. So it's quite child type food in her opinion. And she feels this comes from his own family and his mother. And so she comments on it almost every mealtime. And it drives him nuts. So this causes tension and friction. And as far as this girl is concerned, it's kind of his problem, you know. It's not realizing that it's actually causing problems for both of them, really, you know. So we're sort of looking at that and saying, well, this is also responsibility that she's taking on, which she doesn't need to, because it gives her pain as well talking about it. So we were sort of saying, well, why don't you just don't worry about it? He's not your kid. You're your own person. Let him do his own thing. And we're just sort of exploring it. We're not far into this, but now she's starting to realize how often it comes up, you know. And how often do you eat? It's such a, you know, and so it's once this is taken out of the equation, this is going to become a much, much easier relationship, and mealtimes will be much easier, because there is the thing of she gets upset over, well, makes a comment, it's a jokey comment, but that sets him off. And then he's upset about, you know, not being enough choice for him, kind of thing. And then they have this, it ruins mealtimes, and mealtimes are meant to be special. You know, I love food. I like mealtimes to be good and calm. And so this, taking this out of the equation where it's not her responsibility, if he wants to moan about food, fine, no problem. It's not her thing. She just look after her own meal. It's going to make life a lot easier.
So there's this sort of sense of being a bit controlling, being a bit parental, thinking that we know best and that it's okay to comment, even joking, it's barbed and it's demeaning, embarrassing and shaming for the other person. I guess there's a point where we might need to look at where that's coming from. You know, does she feel it reflects on her because he chooses to eat like that in a restaurant? You know, is there, what is going on?
Yeah.
We can't conjecture right now, but I would like that to, if that was me, I would think, okay, why am I doing this? Where's this coming from?
Yeah.
So that you can ease out of it, as well as just deciding I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is an interesting point as well. And also where his reaction to it as well, because it's not meant to be mean. It's never intended to be a judgment. It just is read like that. So this is then more of the negative bias, that you expecting somebody to say, when somebody says something, you're expecting the negative slant on it, when it's not intended that way either. It's sort of, you know, it's complicated, yeah. Isn't it? It's, you know.
This is what I call the ratcheting conversation. Like, you start here, there's a trigger, there's a trigger,
yeah.
And before you know it, you're up here and banging the bell, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And that's how, yeah, that really happens in relationships, where they just build on each other, and you build this habit of something that annoys each other. And so, you know, nice meals, that you have this nice situation where you're meant to go out and have a lovely time, and then it ends up not being a nice time because something bad happened, and it's something to do with a habit, which obviously we were talking about earlier as well. So yeah, it's really interesting that tweaks in habits can really make quite a difference, but also finding out what's going underneath them.
It's brilliant, brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah.
So the last point we want to talk about is busyness, sort of taking each other for granted, becoming part of the furniture. I mean, it's pretty obvious that's not going to be positive, but tell me more about that.
Yeah, and it starts off with being, it starts off as a positive, you know, that you can rely on each other, and you know, you feel so safe and comfortable with that person that they'll be there forever. You feel like you're rock solid, and that can turn into just really taking each other for granted. because the kids are screaming and business is screaming and this is happening, that's happening. So you're working hard for your goals and maybe building business, and the kids have to be looked after and sent to school, and then you end up maybe with parents that you're looking after or whatever, and then the kids are starting to leave home and actually get to a point where you think, I hardly know this person. I haven't had a really deep and fulfilling conversation with them in 4 years, and that's quite sad when that happens. But again, it's something that can be reversed without a huge amount of it's effort. That's that's what you have to put. What you haven't been putting in is now what you have to put in.
You set an intention to make things better.
Yeah. Yeah, because it is better to make things better than to part, in my opinion. It's not always the case, but it is definitely. I always think, well, it's if you're thinking, is it time to leave or break up? Maybe 6 more months and actually work at it, and see if you can get back to it. Because when you can get back to it, when you can actually bring back that relationship, it's so much better than it was even when you first met, because you have these layers and depth and history, and you know each other so well. And now you have, now you maybe have a bit of money, and now you have the house to yourselves, and you've got all those things that you didn't have for a lot of the time in the interim. It's like, wow, it's time to reap the rewards. Don't just get divorced. It's like, let's get the fun times on.
Yeah, and I think you're right. There's so much of what you said that's right, but that last bit's also triggered thinking in me about letting the fun go. If you don't have things like that you both enjoy doing, it will become barren. So if you like dancing, you go dancing. It's for Ian and I. We love our dancing. I love art. He likes to come to see exhibitions. I think there's something happened with the lockdown as well. We got out of the habit of doing nice things because we weren't going out. But we're doing it much, much more now.
Excellent.
And it just makes such a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, life experiences are just, they're really, they're like the rewards for all the work and the, and just going out as a couple when you're out there is, it's just kind of special, because you can share these special things and you know each other so well. Everybody around you is a stranger, which, can really bring new things into your relationship as well when you start chatting with people. And it's really lovely. You just develop more memories, for chatting about when you go home. Otherwise, you're sat in front of the TV.
Yeah, yeah. Watching the same old, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Geraldine. It's been really lovely to talk with you. And how can people contact you if this is for them?
Oh, yes. Well, I have my own Facebook community there where I have, I run some events, some free events. If you want to find the magic in your relationship and improve your communication and deepen your intimacy and connection with your partner, then come to my page. And I'm also available. I'm also on Facebook, my personal profile as well, that you can friend me. I'm Geraldine Murphy. Yes.
Okay, so that's lovely. What's the name of your community?
It's what is the name of my community? Good question. Geraldine,
we
Murphy
can put it in the chat.
Coach. Yeah, we'll put it in the chat. Oh, God.
A vacant
moment.
It's
like phoning your own number. Yeah.
I know what you mean. Thank you so much.
Thank
See you again soon.
Cheers.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening. and we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.